156. O thou servant of the holy threshold, we have read what flowed out from thy pen in thy love for God, and found the contents of thy letter most pleasing. My hope is that through the bounty of God, the breaths of the All-Merciful will at all times refresh and renew thee. Thou didst write of reincarnation. A belief in reincarnation goeth far back into the ancient history of almost all peoples, and was held even by the philosophers of Greece, the Roman sages, the ancient Egyptians, and the great Assyrians. Nevertheless, such superstitions and sayings are but absurdities in the sight of God. The major argument of the reincarnationists was this, that according to the justice of God, each must receive his due. Whenever a man is afflicted with some calamity, for example, this is because of some wrong he hath committed. But take a child that is still in its mother's womb, the embryo but newly formed, and that child is blind, deaf, lame, defective. What sin hath such a child committed to deserve its afflictions? They answer that although to outward seeming the child still in the womb is guilty of no sin, nevertheless, he perpetrated some wrong when in his previous form, and thus he came to deserve his punishment. These individuals, however, have overlooked the following point. If creation went forward according to only one rule, how could the all-encompassing power make itself felt? How could the Almighty be the one who doeth as he pleaseth and ordaineth as he willeth? Briefly, a return is indeed referred to in the Holy Scriptures, but by this is meant the return of the qualities, conditions, effects, perfections, and inner realities of the lights which recur in every dispensation. The reference is not to specific individual souls and identities. It may be said, for instance, that this lamplight is last night's come back again, or that last year's rose hath returned to the garden this year. Here the reference is not to the individual reality, the fixed identity, the specialized being of that other rose. Rather, doth it mean that the qualities, the distinctive characteristics of that other light, that other flower, are present now in these. Those perfections, that is, those graces and gifts of a former springtime, are come back again this year. We say, for example, that this fruit is the same as last year's, but we are thinking only of the delicacy, bloom and freshness, and the sweet taste of it. For it is obvious that that impregnable centre of reality, that specific identity, can never return. What peace, what ease and comfort did the holy ones of God ever discover during their sojourn in this nether world, that they should continually seek to come back and live this life again? Doth not a single turn at this anguish, these afflictions, these calamities, these body blows, these dire straits suffice that they should wish for repeated visits to the life of this world? This cup was not so sweet that one would care to drink of it a second time. Therefore do the lovers of the Abhor beauty wish for no other recompense but to reach that station where they may gaze upon him in the realm of glory, and they walk no other path save over desert sands of longing for those exalted heights. They seek that ease and solace which will abide for ever, and those bestowals that are sanctified beyond the understanding of the worldly mind. When thou lookest about thee with a perceptive eye, thou wilt note that on this dusty earth all humankind are suffering. Here no man is at rest as a reward for what he hath performed in former lives, nor is there anyone so blissful as seemingly to pluck the fruit of bygone anguish. And if a human life with its spiritual being were limited to this earthly span, then what would be the harvest of creation? Indeed, what would be the effects and the outcomes of divinity itself? Were such a notion true, then all created things, all contingent realities, and this whole world of being, all would be meaningless. God forbid that one should hold to such a fiction and gross error. For just as the effects and the fruitage of the uterine life are not to be found in that dark and narrow place, and only when the child is transferred to this wide earth do the benefits and uses of growth and development in that previous world become revealed, so likewise reward and punishment, heaven and hell, requital and retribution for actions done in this present life will stand revealed in that other world beyond. And just as, if human life in the womb were limited to that uterine world, existence there would be nonsensical, irrelevant, so too, if the life of this world, the deeds here done and their fruitage, did not come forth in the world beyond, the whole process would be irrational and foolish. Know then that the Lord God possesseth invisible realms, which the human intellect can never hope to fathom, nor the mind of man conceive. When once thou hast cleansed the channel of thy spiritual sense from the pollution of this worldly life, then wilt thou breathe in the sweet scents of holiness that blow from the blissful bowers of that heavenly land. The glory rest upon thee, and upon whosoever turneth toward and gazeth on the kingdom of the All-Glorious, which the Lord hath sanctified beyond the understanding of those who are neglectful of him, and hath hid from the eyes of those who show him pride.